Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Principal Street High Income Municipal Fund Investor Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question-and-answer session. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Brian Smith. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you, Gail. Welcome, everyone, to our third quarter investor call. My name is Brian Smith, CEO of SkyPoint Capital. Before we get on to our speakers, just a few quick updates on third quarter fund performance. For the third quarter 2021, the institutional share class returned 0.43%, outperforming the Bloomberg Barclays High Yield Muni Index, which returned 0.38% over the same period. GSTAX was top decile in performance in the Morningstar category. The fund currently pays 5.2% federally tax-exempt dividend yield, and as of today, AUM and GSTAX is approximately $320 million. And now on to our speakers. Troy Willis is the Chief Investment Officer, Municipal Bond Strategies for Principal Street Partners. Prior to joining Principal Street earlier this year, Troy was the co-head of the Oppenheimer Fund's Rochester Municipal Bond Team, where he was responsible for $26 billion of AUM and delivered top decile weighted average performance for over a decade. Troy is a leading expert and frequent speaker on the municipal bond market with more than 20 years of market experience. Joining Troy today is Joe Gully. Joe has served as partner with Principal Street since 2016 and has been the portfolio manager on the High Income Municipal Fund since the fund's inception in September 2017. Prior to joining Principal Street, Joe worked for Oppenheimer Asset Management as the Director of Municipal Bond Research and with Lord Abbott. Joe also worked as a tax-exempt analyst for 14 years at Merrill Lynch Investment Managers. So let's go ahead and start the call. Troy, you took over the fund early in kind of the first quarter with Joe, and we've had a lot of changes, and I'd love for you just to speak to some of those changes in the portfolio since the first quarter.
Sure. Thanks, Brian. yeah, it's been nice and steady. We talked about kind of some of the key things that we would be looking to do is, you know, diversify, add some liquidity, and grow the fund, right? Those are the main three objectives. Obviously, performance is always number one, and yield is really the driver of that. So maintain the yield while we're accomplishing those goals. All right, we've grown, as you said, assets is about 205 when we took over. So we've diversified the buyer base quite a bit by growing the fund, and it's been, you know, fairly steady. We've really diversified by adding a bunch of new credits. We didn't really come in and sort of hack away at the existing portfolio, especially the troubled credits. It's always been my opinion, most troubled credits in munis are usually, you know, they hit harder in price than they probably sometimes should be. So there's been one or two that we've sold really over the year, but that's generally about it. Otherwise, we're trying to ride out and do the hard work of you know, renegotiating and getting some of those either back online or getting our, you know, collecting our mortgage value and work those out. So the areas that we've focused on increasing diversification, you know, Colorado dirt is an area that we've added, tobacco zero bonds, we'll talk about a little bit, higher education, charter schools, and then the only Puerto Rico really jumped into is Puerto Rico highways, which I thought was the sort of best Puerto Rico credit risk reward at the time. And that's, you know, that's all worked out. A couple of oil and gas, one of our bigger wins this year has been Console Energy 9% bonds, which, you know, it's hard to believe, but even, you know, back in March, April, when we purchased those bonds, people were talking about, you know, the new administration was going to destroy anything, you know, coal related. Now coal is trading at a much higher price. Our thesis was that while I would not lend to someone starting up a new coal mine, an existing coal mine was not going to get put out of business. So we thought that was going to do well, and that's up over, you know, 20 points year to date, paying 9% tax-free income to the fund. And it's a nice, you know, it's a fairly small piece of the fund, so it's been a great addition to performance. And so we've added a bunch of different sectors, Colorado, we call them Colorado dirt bonds, but they're basically assessment on new development. and that continues to, you know, grow unabated. So we're picking our spots. There's been a lot of issuance in Colorado dirt, and there are definitely some differences in some credits. So we're sort of picking our spots on which credits we like. Some are, you know, there's the outer rungs and the, you know, different builders. So there's some different variables you have to pay attention to when buying those. So we're trying to pick, you know, out of the 40 that got issued this year, we bought, you know, 10. And there's different structures, cash flow structures, and, you know, different bonds. So we're able to buy those. And you're picking up between 4% and 5.5% yield generally on those Colorado dirt bonds. And that's been I think it's around a 7% position. It was a 0% position when we started. College is an area that we really always, you know, I continue to like. Another one that maybe 20 years ago, you could just buy any college, didn't matter. But now you have to be a little more selective and careful which credit you're buying. But, you know, in general, the market is running away from smaller colleges, and I think too much. So I think there's some good risk reward there. I mean, we bought recently a small college in Georgia, you know, has a $50 million endowment, $30 million in debt. While their enrollment numbers have gone down, they're still going to be an existing college in a nice growing region. They're going to be fine. And colleges generally have the ability to cut costs when they need to. So if they lose students for, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years, they either go out and raise money or they reduce their cost structure, or some combination of both. So they have a lot of ways to, you know, pay back bondholders. So we think that's a good risk reward credit. what else? We've improved liquidity of the fund. I think prior to this, prior to taking over, it was very project finance specific, which tend to have a lot less liquidity. There's a lot of other bonds and structures, I think, that have more liquidity, even in high yield. You know, the Puerto Rico highways, for example, I think there's bids and markets every day. tobacco bonds, they're, you know, 7-8% tobacco, you know, yielding tobacco zeros, but there's a lot of liquidity in those structures, so you could easily buy and sell them while you're still getting the yield. So that's been, you know, additive to the fund. I'll talk about the muni market in general. It's been an interesting year. Start out, rallied, then, you know, people started getting worried about inflation. Rates rose a little bit in the first quarter. then everybody got, you know, fat, dumb, and happy again for the next, you know, 4 or 5 months. And we were just kind of, for the most part, just hitting singles. Every deal was, you know, every high yield deal was 5 times oversubscribed. And we did a lot of, you know, buying and then selling it in the short term if it's going to be up a point in a few weeks. Just doing what we could to add some value. And then the market sold off again in kind of late August. September, started seeing some, you know, more inflation worries. Wait, maybe it's not going to be transitory. Other, you know, concerns. Not really anything muni specific. I think it's generally been, you know, general fixed income market concerns. Although we did munis outperformed for most of the year, then underperformed a little bit September. I think that was at the same time, there was outflows in high-yield munis. There was a couple of big high-yield muni deals. And a couple of the larger funds were in outflows. They were kind of forced to buy everything through the summer. We're getting a little pissed off that all these different funds were getting allocations. So they kind of used that as an opportunity in September when some of these bigger high-yield deals came to try to push back and get higher yields, which we're all in favor of. So that added some volatility to the high yield market in, you know, September. and then last week, as the high yield funds started getting money back in, it started to snap back again. And you saw that within a week. I mean, it was a couple of high yield deals that were having a hard time getting things done. We were able to get things at a little higher yields. And then the market snapped back last week. As you saw, we had a pretty solid performance, and that's just things getting repriced as new deals are getting done at lower yield levels than they were for the prior, you know, month or so. But overall, you know, munis outperformed, I think, treasuries for the year to date. You know, what long treasuries are up 24 beeps, you know, year to date. 10-year treasury up, you know, 55 beeps. Long munis, 30 and 45. So munis outperformed so far year to date treasuries by, you know, a little bit. And the long part of the curve outperformed pretty significantly the you know, the 10-year part of the curve, which prior to this, we've always said that the 10-year part of the curve for a couple of years now has been, you know, trading at kind of all-time ratio level lows. You know, we've been hearing for years, you know, buy AA 10-year bonds. So everybody did that, and the commensurate yields were, you know, 1%. So that part of the curve is getting beat up pretty good now. I think I'll stop there, and Joe, you want to add
sure.
a few things?
I'm just going to add a couple things on what Troy highlighted in regards to the credit diversification that we've been, you know, getting into, particularly the Colorado dirt deals. Colorado dirt deals are primarily, as he said, they're more of a play for property taxes, and what it is that they're a value based on assessments that are taking. And in Colorado, it's a year a lag. So if contractor build today, it doesn't go into the property tax rolls for at least a year. And given the growth of property values over the period of time, along with where interest rates for borrowers, i.e. the end user, mom and pop, to buy a house, values are up substantially. So even though these facilities are doing well, there is that lag that there is in the building versus when they can actually collect those tax. These deals are less leveraged in Colorado than in other states just because of the nature in Colorado. So there are some assets already sitting on the books because the builder has to buy the property outright first, and that's part of the deal. So that's an advantage to us. The second advantage, of course, is once they get built, the assessment automatically turns to the municipality, i.e. the county. The county then collects that, remits it to the trustee, and at the end of the day, the contractor never touches that cash. So we find that to be a very good system and a positive for the underlying credits that go into place here. We're looking to do more if we can keep the yields where they are, but again, it's all about diversification. We're not going to try to get into a certain segment where it's in that one entity, i.e. that county. And, of course, we're going to diversify across maybe states as well as across construction. As far as the other idea that we've been doing in universities, that we bought the one university, granted it's a smaller niche school, has a great endowment. Majority of the endowment, as Troy said, it was $50 million, is unencumbered. And what that means is that it's available cash where if the school had to have any kind of short-term cash needs, they can use that endowment without going to the holders, the restricted holders, i.e. the donors, and be able to use that cash. So that's a positive. They have increased the selectivity and matriculation rates, even though they are losing enrollment, but that was sort of by choice because they wanted to get more selective and try to get to more of a primary school instead of a secondary school. It's going to take time for that credit to get to that level, but that's where we see that school going. Just in general about the credit markets, primarily like in senior care, given what's going on with COVID or COVID 2.0 that is going on, and the idea that senior care across the board occupancy in general is increasing. It's increasing because of the staff as well as the residents are getting vaccinated. They're having less and less traumatic experiences, i.e. deaths or hospitalizations because of that. We're seeing an improvement across the board, a slower in some areas than in other areas. And of course, some credits take longer to improve than other credits. And we will see that as a pattern going forward. But we see this as an opportunity as well to move forward back into that space. But again, not up to the 40% level that we were in the past. We're going to probably maintain it in that 15 to 25% basket that where we are. We're still going to stay away from the total skilled nursing facilities at this point. and still try to stay with that more diverse ILs, ALs, memory care, and small skill nursing going forward if we can see value. As Troy said, we're diversifying across. We haven't really impacted the yield that much in regards to that, even with the adding of $115 million across the board. So there's still opportunity for growth. We can still put money to work. It's just finding those opportunities.
Great. Thank you, Joe. Operator, we'd love to open up the phone lines for questions at this
time. As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster.
While we're waiting for questions, Troy and Joe, would love to ask, just kind of in general, does the recent passage of the infrastructure bill add any technical tailwinds for high yield muni?
Yeah, not directly, but again, it, you know, sort of indirectly, when they're spending that much money on infrastructure, it's, you know, flow through and help a lot of muni, you know, credits overall. For us, I'm more looking at, you know, is it going to create some opportunities of some new issuance of, you know, deals that might be interesting and, you know, better yielding. But we'll see how that shakes out. They passed the bill. They haven't read it yet, so we get everybody's starting to read it now. That's the way that works.
Right. And if you realize from the infrastructure, it would, I guess, just to piggyback on that with Troy, is that, you know, we see highways. There's a, you know, back in 5-6 years ago, you've seen Commonwealth of Virginia issue a lot of debt, primarily with HOV lanes, et cetera, that we may see come around again. It may be more in vogue, and it might be a nice yielding play. We may get some infrastructure, you know, through bridge and tunnel expansions. You know, New York has a tunnel that they need. We could get other bridges that are along other coasts. We can get railroads that comes along, primarily maybe the one from California to Vegas, a high-speed rail line. So there's a lot of opportunities that now this bill could present, as Brightline did in Florida. So we're seeing that across the board as an opportunity, but the devils will be in the details when we see the actual, you know, reading of it.
Great, thanks. Operator, are there any questions?
There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay, well, Joe and Troy, thank you very much. Always informative. Great performance being top decile. Let's keep up that through the end of the year and look forward to more insights over the next quarter. Thank you, everybody, for participating today. We will send out a replay of this call within the next week or so, and looking again forward to speaking next quarter. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.